To 1 Samuel, the first chapter, and I want to share a message about Hannah, about a woman rooted in the Spirit. As you're finding your way there, Mother's Day allows us that opportunity to honor and to celebrate, to remember the women in our lives who have cared for us, who have guided us, who have loved us, even when we were not so lovable. Most of our moms loved us the best she could. And she showed us a kind of love that the Bible calls agape love. And that kind of love is God's sacrificial, faithful love. Now, moms aren't perfect. They're human. You might remember episodes of her humanity when you were young. Impatience on a busy morning, getting out the door, taking you to school and getting herself to work. Maybe a meal prepared at the end of a long, hard day that didn't come together like she had planned. A day or even days where she was overcome by the emotional weight of disappointments, conflict, even depression. And I think I can remember on an occasion or two as a child hearing my mom mutter, almost out of earshot, one of those four-letter words she warned me never to say. Sound familiar? Well, Mom, you'll have to forgive me. I've muttered a few of my own choice words. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it? Our humanity, hers, mine, yours, sometimes just gets the best of us. As much as I love and respect the daughter of my maternal grandparents, it's not her humanity that has shaped me most. It's been her spirituality. Now, it's only been recently that I've been able to understand that. I used to think it was her personality in me, her disposition, the way that she would hold her mouth when she was thinking deeply about something, or how she's always seeing the best in people. Those things are definitely in me. And 100 other things. But what has shaped me and continues to shape me is how she is a woman rooted in the Spirit of God. My home and yours, our church and our church's history is full of them, women rooted in the Spirit of God. They can be described as married, single, widowed, young and old, and everywhere in between. As aunts, as dog moms, yes, and cat moms. They can be described as professionals, as homemakers, as generation shapers, who are grandmas and mothers and sisters in Christ. They are teachers and leaders. They're exhorters and prayers, sometimes preachers and sometimes prophets, who are passionate Jesus lovers living out his agape love. Women rooted in the Spirit of God. Like me, you've most surely been shaped by them. All because of you, women, we carry in us your imprint. We carry in us your Christ-like values, your prayers, your faith, your hope, your love. I want to say this morning to our women that you are examples to us of how to live lives rooted in the Spirit. You encourage us to be stronger in our faith. You encourage us to persevere longer and earlier each day in prayer, to see more clearly what it is that God is doing in our midst, to work more enthusiastically in serving and sharing Christ with our neighbors, to speak more plainly about how Christ's love is life to us each day. The presence of women rooted in the Spirit of God sets us on firm and solid ground. Praise the Lord. Thank God for women of God. Frankly, I don't want to imagine how shaky and shallow it would feel around here, ladies, without you. Let me turn to an Old Testament woman, Hannah, to jog our curiosity about how a woman rooted in the Spirit of God steadies and deepens our life together. So follow along as I read, beginning in verse 12. As she kept on praying, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine, and I've not been drinking beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." And Eli answered her, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." In verse 18, she said, and now let me pause here. I think that this next part is really Hannah's prayer, maybe her final words to God, not so much to Eli. So let's hear it that way. She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went away, she ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. What can we learn from a woman rooted in the Spirit of God? Well, first, she is a person of persistent prayer. Persistent prayer. Verse 12 says, she kept on praying. Now, there's a backstory here that I did not read, but Hannah accompanies her husband to the temple each year, and they go to prepare and present appropriate offerings and sacrifices. And when she goes, it seems to be a routine of hers to beseech the Lord, to come to the Lord in prayer, asking him of a thing. And so, as she is here at this time, she is persistent in her praying. The text says she kept on praying. But hers is not an easy prayer. Make no mistake here. This is no easy day in the house of the Lord for prayer. She's brokenhearted. She's deeply disappointed. She's under attack by a petulant and arrogant family member who will not give her any break. She's been bringing her request to God over and over again with no response from him. It's not easy to keep on praying when these things are true about your life. Yet Hannah persists. For me, that makes her a woman rooted in the Spirit of God. Let us learn from her. Let us learn from her how to persist in prayer, even when the circumstances of our lives are not easy, even when the circumstances of our lives might cause us to not feel so inclined to pray, even when the Lord doesn't seem to hear our prayers. Hannah is a model of a woman rooted in the Spirit who persists in praying, even when she ought not to pray. And she persists in praying. But there's another thing I believe we can learn from Hannah. Second, she is a woman unconcerned about outward appearances when it comes to her devotion to the Lord. Unconcerned about outward appearances. While Hannah is praying in her heart, what is moving? Her lips. So she's intently praying, talking to the Lord, bearing to the Lord her heart, her soul, her anguish, her grief. And it is so strong in her that though she's praying in her heart, her mouth is moving. You can't hear what she's saying, but you can see her lips moving. And Eli took notice of this. Eli, the priest, believes she is drunk, and even confronts her about it. How long, woman, are you going to stay drunk? You can almost hear him asking her, how dare you come into the house of God drunk, Eli. Eli was going by what he perceived on the outside. Here's a woman, you can't hear what she's saying, but you can see her mouth moving. And I suppose only drunk people behave that way. You don't hear that question asked too much by the pastors on Sundays in churches around here, I don't suppose. Let me add this, though, in this passage. This is not the first time that someone consumed with the Spirit was mistaken for being drunk. In Acts, you'll remember, all those followers of Jesus that had tarried and waited there for the Spirit to be poured out, and when it was poured out and they poured out into the street, they're testifying in the ways in which they were speaking and relating to people. That they were speaking in tongues that were not familiar to them, made that accusation. These people must be drunk. I believe that in Hannah's case, this is indicative that she is a woman rooted deeply in the Spirit. Paul talks about this. He says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Scripture seems to draw this connection between wine and the Spirit. I don't know, it's God's Word and He's speaking about it, but there's something to me that seems to communicate to me that Hannah was a woman deeply rooted in the Spirit. Well, she pushes back on Eli and says, not so, sir, not so. I am simply pouring out my soul to the Lord. That's a woman deeply rooted in the Spirit of God. She is so intent on what's happening between her and the Lord that any pretense fades. For a long time, I didn't really know what pretense meant. But essentially what it means is this: there was no pretending. She was unconcerned about what was happening on the outside of her. She was very intent on connecting with God at this point in prayer. And she was so intent and so taken in that moment and in that connection with God that she was praying in her heart, but her mouth was moving. You get the picture? She is so intent on what's happening between her and the Lord that all pretense, all pretending fades. Nothing else is of concern to Hannah, even if someone watching her thinks she's drunk or maybe even worse. Let us learn from this woman, Hannah, how our hearts can be so deeply connected to God, so intently and so intimately, that we would not have a care about what someone observing us might think about us. One final word this morning. Remember I mentioned overhearing my mom's choice words when I was young? Recently, she blessed me with some choice words of a different kind. We were talking on the phone one day, and I was sharing with her about the church and about replanting and about some of the details of our journey over the last year or two. And I had some questions that I was indicating to her, and maybe you could even say I had some doubts about it all. And so we talked and talked a little bit, and finally, as the conversation was beginning to wrap up, she said this. She said, "Brian, the Lord will put everything in place as long as you dwell with Him." And I got me a piece of paper and a pen, and I scribbled that down as quick as I could because I did not want to miss those choice words. They seemed to be spoken from the mouth of God in that moment. Just what I needed to hear. Just that reminder. Or maybe even a new challenge from my mom to have an increase of my faith in what God is doing. Those were just the kind of choice words I needed to hear. Steady and deep and rooted in the Spirit. And when it was all said and done, I suppose that I hung up the phone feeling a little bit like Hannah did after she was through talking it out with Eli. Look at verse 18. She said to the Lord, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went away. She ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. You're right. I hung up the phone, thankful to God, opened the fridge, found some leftovers, heated them up, had a great lunch, and I felt much better. Amen. God, we thank you that you have blessed us with women who are so deeply and strongly rooted in your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you have placed them among us to teach us, to love us, to guide us, and Lord, yes, to call us with spiritual words, choice words, that lead us to be even more deeply rooted in you. Lord, may we all honor and celebrate and be thankful and rejoice that in this place we call home, you have blessed us with so many women who are rooted in the Spirit of God. May we follow their lead. May we acquire their heart. May we practice their devotion. And Lord, may your servant find favor in your eyes. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray this and many other things. Amen and amen. We're going to sing a closing song. I invite you to join in and to allow this to be a time of singing, but also a time of reflection and to consider what the Lord has spoken to us today. Let's stand together and let us sing to the Lord in response to Him. Beautiful song, and what a beautiful word that we're able to sing to the Lord. And may that truly be our heart to Him today. Let me mention a few announcements. We've got some slides that'll be up in front of us. Let me remind us of our ways of giving, but also of our life groups. Our life groups are meeting today, and so that'll happen right after we're through here. And so be aware of that, and I look forward to a time tomorrow night for our men's group. We'll be meeting over at Buddy's Barbecue, and so we'll do that at 7 o'clock. So, men, you're invited to join us tomorrow at 7 for our men's group there at Buddy's Barbecue. And then also, there are different ways that you can give. I want to make mention of those. Our offering box is situated on the back table there, so you can drop your offering in there. Any prayer request cards that you have. Any contact cards that you might fill out if you're visiting with us today, you can put that in that offering box. But there are also other ways that you can give. There's online giving on our website. And so make yourselves available, informed about those, and continue to be faithful and generous in your giving. And the Lord says that He blesses cheerful givers. And so may we be cheerful givers to the Lord. Let me remind us, on May 21st, that's next Sunday, from 2 to 4, there's a church-wide baby shower for Josh and Casey and a little Harrison. And so we want to invite our whole church to be here for that during that time. Next Sunday, between 2 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And that'll be in the fellowship hall, if I'm not mistaken. And then, as has already been mentioned, our canvassing this Saturday from 4 to 6. And then our cookout on the 24th from 5 to 7. I invite you to be involved in those. Let me also mention a couple of other things. I've been in touch with a local church here, just right around the corner, actually, Faith Bible Fellowship. They are beginning a after-school Bible club for kids at Willowbrook, and we have been invited to be a part of that. And so I'm extending to our church an invitation to you. If you are interested in more information about being involved in an after-school Good News Bible club for kids, would you just remain after and meet? Let's meet right down here at the front, and let's discuss that as a new opportunity for us to be involved in. All right, I think that's all, and a lot of other things that are happening. Certainly make yourself familiar with those things and through our Herald and just through your involvement in the life of the church. And so I'm so glad that you're here today, and pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you as we leave from this place. Let me pray and we will be dismissed. Father, we thank you for the fullness of this day so far, for your faithful presence here with us. Your Spirit has invited us into worship. You filled us, Lord, with joy and with hope. You've called us, Lord, to deeper faith in you, to a stronger commitment to you, Lord, to faithfully follow you. Lord, to seek to be rooted deeply in your Spirit. So, Lord, thank you for this day, and as we go from this place, keep us and hold us. Lead us forward, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me remind our ladies, pick up a carnation on your way out, and may that be just a token of our love and affection for you. God bless you.